Now
we're live. Yep.
Man, I can't talk about crypto Ponzi schemes now. I'm getting paid every month, though. Money's coming in like clockwork till it doesn't.
Right. Yeah, I'm currently not in any of those.
But
you're getting paid, right?
3 days from now, I'm actually going to be free rolling.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
By just like that.
It's crazy. Yeah.
I'm still.
How long was it? 3 months or 9 months?
4 months.
4 months. 4 months.
Yeah, because you're getting 25%. So.
Oh, I think you're muted at Discord.
Yes, I am. It's all right. The Discord folk don't need to hear about Ponzi schemes.
Yeah, 25% a month is not bad.
Total.
Get it as long as you can.
Yeah, the thing is actually, the 1 year anniversary was actually like yesterday or the day before for this thing. So I'm like, all right, hopefully it's got one or two more years left. There was another one I saw that was similar that ran for a little over 3 years.
Damn.
So my one friend is crazy. The one that got me into it, he went balls to the wall. Let's just say he has like 10K a month coming in.
That's nuts.
So, I mean, I think he'll be break even in like a month.
That's absolutely insane.
It's not insane when it works, I guess. I guess it's no different than rolling up with 40 G's at the craps table in Vegas.
It's very true. Very true. And make your bets.
But I'd rather throw 25K at a done for you Amazon store than a Ponzi scheme.
Right.
Even though the returns are quote unquote not as good. They're actually, I mean, that's funny though, if you think about it. I didn't realize that's pretty good. Like, because at the end of the day, like 8% profit on your inventory, like per month.
That's insanely good.
That's how
anything,
I'm
convinced that anything over 15% return that's relatively low risk is a great return.
15% annually, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's crazy about the Amazon thing. It's like 8% essentially per month, which makes sense because you're turning over your inventory monthly.
Right.
So it's like, well, how much do I make off my inventory? And it's like, if the average is 8%, then it's like, all right, awesome. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons my buddy that did his Amazon store, like, I don't even know, 5 years ago. I think that's part of what's helped him because he's been doing all sorts of stuff. He's doing flips all over the country. And I think a lot of the real estate he's doing is probably getting bankrolled from the automatic money pretty much coming from Amazon store. Because yeah, he's like well established, especially because it's, you know, 5 years ago. Anyway, that's the random segment of different ways to make money.
Right. That's what everyone wants to hear.
Exactly.
Speaking of that, Bitcoin's at 27,400 right now. It was just at 27,500.
Yeah.
Touched 27,500.
Hell to the yeah, which is good because I did a post yesterday talking about if 27K was going to become like a resistance area because it was support. And it looks like after failing at it the last three candles, it's pushing through on today's candle in terms of daily candles. So that's good. I'm happy because like I was telling you earlier, I bought some more at 25K. So not a big purchase, but at least it was a purchase.
Dollar cost average. That's how you do it.
Yeah. Especially because I had bought some up at, what was it? 28 and change just because I wanted to add it. That's when I was doing all the stuff with the Oasis vault and I just wanted to put more in there. So I'm like, screw it. Let me just buy now.
Love to see it. Love to see it.
Yeah, I think I'm like, as far as crypto goes, like Bitcoin is the only thing that I'm comfortably bullish on right now. Especially with all the stuff I see going on. I saw, BlackRock? Did BlackRock just apply for a new ETF, a new Bitcoin ETF?
Yeah, they've got an application in. Crazy thing about BlackRock, I wrote an article on it. They have I think it's 675 to 1 approval record for ETFs. So
yeah,
out of 676 ETF proposals, they've gotten only one not approved.
Well, so think about this too. SEC going after crypto hard, obviously the FTX debacle late last year, you know, stuff going on now. And at the same time, you got BlackRock applying for an ETF here in Q2. And then also in Q1, BlackRock, and I forget who else it was. It might've been Fidelity. I can't remember, but they were a net purchaser of a decent amount of MicroStrategy in Q1 of this year, when obviously Bitcoin was down and everything was anti-Bitcoin. So the reason why I'm super bullish on Bitcoin is because I realized the government's not trying to impede Bitcoin. They're trying to set up a scenario where they have control. Hashtag BlackRock. So that's why all these crypto exchanges are getting completely hated on, because the government has no power. They're not in cahoots. They're not essentially mutual destruction like BlackRock.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, a lot of people are thinking that this is like Operation Choke Point 2.0, where, you know, they're consolidating all of this, all of the on-ramps, off-ramps for crypto, you know, making it harder for people to buy like actual crypto, like through Coinbase and other places. And then by doing that, they're then, you know, allowing these ETFs to get approved. So then, you know, you've basically taken away the ease of use for a lot of people to own crypto, but then you offer them like an ETF through their, you know, brokerage account. And suddenly, you know, now you have a lot of control over where people are buying crypto and how they're holding it. You know, it starts to make a lot of sense when you look at it that way. And news just broke today that, let me see if I can find it. There were a bunch of other companies. So the other day, so originally it came out that BlackRock had filed. Then right after, there was news that Fidelity filed too. And then the next major piece I saw, I had it up here. Can't find it.
Did you drop an announcements first?
Oh, I think I was halfway through writing it. Yeah, let me finish that. Crypto exchange backed by Citadel Securities, Fidelity, and Schwab starts operations as of today.
Mm.
So right now we're basically seeing crypto exchanges and ETFs from like the major TradFi players all starting to come about. Not even 2 weeks after, we just saw a huge crackdown on the existing crypto startups like Coinbase and Binance and others. So I definitely think it's a pretty coordinated move. It seems a little bit too coordinated to not be something that was planned. The only other, I basically see it like two different ways, actually three. One, it's a completely coordinated thing where, you know, they crack down on the crypto exchanges, and then they kind of cleared the way for TradFi to come in. Two is TradFi was sitting around and waiting, and they obviously have, you know, people that they, you know, they obviously have their own people in the government that they talk to on a regular basis. And they were, maybe it wasn't coordinated back and forth between like regulators, but maybe they had insight into what was going to happen. So they were lying and waiting. They were basically just waiting for their opportunity to push all their new products, like the ETFs and the exchanges from TradFi. That's the second one. The third one is that it's all just a complete coincidence. But I really don't think it's the third one. I think it's most likely number one, which is coordination. I think at the very least, though, it's number two, where TradFi knew that it was going to happen based on insider knowledge and just waited for the right opportunity.
I got that distracted by looking at the Tesla chart, or I should say just like the fucking vertical path that it's been on the last couple of weeks. This is insanity.
Yeah, Tesla is something I've been watching. It's definitely insane. I mean, it's starting to push high, all-time highs, right? Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, not exactly,
it's still a ways from that, but yeah. So that descending, downtrend, the descending channel it was in from the all-time highs back in November 21, it broke out of that back in, I mean, basically like the beginning of this month. And it didn't even like, you think it would like have maybe like tested that something? Nope, just rocket ship, which is crazy because it, you know, was in the middle of that. It's basically gone from 165 to, it's a 271 right now. It's basically done that in almost a, like just a straight line. Like there was one itty bitty pullback, like 180. So yeah, I did not expect that. So I never rolled out my short-term option because I'm like, oh, okay, you know, it's 200's been a problem. Then it's like got up to 215 and we got a red reversal candle. And I'm like, oh, perfect. We'll probably come down, confirm like 200, 205, you know, that it's a breakout. And I figured I would roll there, but no, we just mooned.
Straight to the moon. Yeah, they just announced all those partnerships with GM and all these other major companies to create the NACS, which is the North American Charging Standard, in case anyone was wondering.
So, yeah, and then, I mean, like, market's down today, but I still am baffled by the post-Fed move. It was like, they didn't raise, which everyone expected, and then they blatantly said that they're going to raise twice more this year, and the market ended up ripping.
I just feel like nobody believes them, you know? I think there's a big element of just nobody really believes what they're saying.
That could totally be it.
Are you?
So yeah, what was it? Week in review. So the new ads kicked off last week, right? AdSense, which the ads are more personalized because I got like a real estate ad and I got like a Capital One ad. So that's pretty cool. So hopefully that will increase ad revenue, or I should say interaction with ads since they're being personalized.
Yep.
Zilli prize pool apparently was mostly powered up. So, and anyone that sold, that Leo got gobbled up because Leo's at 8 cents. So hashtag awesome. What else? Ad revenue display on Threads, which I think we last week was like, we know that we talked about, right?
Yeah. I think we covered that one last week.
I think it went
live right before the AMA.
So that's pretty cool. It still needs to get added to long form.
Yep.
LPUD. It was pretty good. 227,000 Leos powered up. Pretty badass.
Really amazing.
179 Lions powered up, which I think is the second most. It was either second or third most.
Yeah, like, I think so.
I think it's second most in terms of number of Lions. I know Eric was shooting for 200, so it didn't quite get there, but still second most we've ever gotten. Apparently, a ton of people also paired up 50 to 100 Leo. So, because the 179 is 150 or more. So, we probably had over 200 when you consider people that powered up 100 or less. Yeah. So outside of May, June is the highest in USD value for LPUD.
The price of Leo has definitely been reflecting that.
That's wild. So price of Leo is up 140%. That's wild.
Yeah, and there's 16 million Leo out there, and 13 million is staked. So, and then the rest is pretty much just in the oracles. So, pretty illiquid out there, and you can definitely see it with the buybacks for the bounties. It's been, you know, the daily buybacks have definitely been struggling to not push the price up. So, you know, in order to get filled, it's got to keep inching the price higher and higher, kind of see that in the Hive Leo price ratio, which is I think like 2.262 or something right now. So you know, one high or one Leo is about 0.26 Hive right now. And that's up from when we started May. I think we were at 0.08 Leo or 0.08 Hive per Leo. So now we're at 0.26 Hive per Leo. So yeah, definitely a huge increase on that front.
I see the first curation reports are out. That's pretty cool. Every Sunday they're coming out. At Leo-curation is the account.
Nice, nice, nice.
Add the account to your auto vote. It helps us reward curators. Once a monthly you'll find us, we'll post a mega monthly report. A mega monthly report. I mean, that's interesting. Yeah, as far as trailing Leo curation account. Maybe I'll do that in addition to like the other like accounts that I trail.
Yeah, so the you know, a big point of that curation report, and there's gonna be one every week from that account and then one every month from the main Leo Finance account. And the point with those is, you know, we released that curation 2.0 post where we talked about the changes that we were making to curation within the Leo Finance community and on Hive, obviously. We've got like 3.8 million Hive power now on Leo.voter. So, you know, we've had a lot of different models and discussions about how to best utilize that, all of that Hive power for curation. And, you know, we've done a lot of different things, but I think we finally hit like a really good model for rewarding people with that Hive power and using it for what it's meant for, which is to grow the Leo Finance community and obviously support good content, which obviously builds like the long-term evergreen traffic that we get from Google and search engines. So, you know, we made a lot of progress on that front. And the point of the weekly reports is to basically give out like kind of, you know, all the raw data on you know, what's being curated and stuff like that. So if you go to that post, it's definitely a little bit more raw. Like it just kind of shows you each day and who got curated throughout the week. And then that monthly report is going to show you a little bit more in depth and show you like a higher level overview of, okay, like, you know, here's the different segments of curation and here's why these, you know, this group of authors got this much, this many upvotes and stuff like that each month. So the point of that is all for transparency. So you've got transparency now on the Leo-curation reports every week, and then you're going to have it on the monthly reports, which will be a little bit higher level, talking about, you know, a little bit more of the mechanisms behind curation, who's getting curated, why they're getting curated, in terms of like groups of authors, and basically how you can get curated if you want to. And the overarching message or kind of you know, the overarching like basically narrative for this is curation based on meritocracy. So you know, I think a big problem on Hive is that you get curated based more so on who you know and what upvoters you're being trailed by and stuff like that. You know, if you look at the top earning authors on Hive, it's usually people that have been around for a really long time, who've basically built a, you know, and I'm not saying that they don't deserve to be rewarded, but they've built a brand.
Wait, what happened to me then? I've been around since 2016. Why no vote sizes like I'm not gonna name names.
Yeah, Kat, I mean, well, that's,
Kat has failed. Kat is going to put his tail between his legs and walk away. I'm a failure. You trusted me and I failed you. I've been writing for 5 years for no reason at all now. Actually, it's been more than that. Wow, I'm actually about to have a really sad moment. That's a lot of years I've been writing. I should be getting huge votes. My content must suck.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like the problem with Hive and curation in general is that nobody really knows who's getting upvoted, why they're getting upvoted, or, you know, like if you really put in a lot of work for a lot of years, and build up your brand and build up your account and put out good content consistently, there's no real guarantee out there that you're going to get rewarded. And you know, there's an element to that that's fine, because if you look at any Web2 platform, you know, it's even worse, where you put up content and you could be creating content for 5 years and never make a single penny, because the only way you make money is through selling a product or something. So Hive is nice because you have that rewards pool and there is a way to earn something. I'd say it's pretty hard to like go more than a month on this platform in terms of Hive and Leo Finance without earning like a single penny. So that's one amazing thing about all of this stuff.
In 2016, it was not hard to do that because hashtag did it.
Yeah. No, I mean, back in the day, it was definitely harder. Today, though,
brutal back in the day. Now,
there's a lot of ways to get involved.
Yeah. Now, it is not to.
So, you know, the whole idea here is we get this meritocracy going. And by doing that, you know, we make it pretty clear of how, like, the path to getting upvoted and earning. That's the whole idea here. The transparency reports will at least show you who's getting upvoted and why. And, you know, there's not going to be any like funny business behind the scenes. And if there is, then it'll be easy to discover it. And then the hopeful impact of that also is that if you want to get involved on this platform, Leo Finance, and earn a lot of rewards and build your brand and earn more and more over time, it's going to be a meritocracy. It's going to be very easy to see that path in terms of, okay, I want to earn more upvotes. So I need to go out and I need to create, you know, X amount of threads per week. I need to be engaged with, you know, different authors on Leo Finance in their comment section. I need to create posts that are high quality and, you know, 500, 750 plus words. And, you know, just overall, I need to do things that are beneficial to the platform. And if I'm doing those things, then I'm almost guaranteed to get upvotes, because that's how the whole upvote curation system is working with @leo.voter, which is that, you know, we're looking at people who are doing that stuff and creating lists of those people and constantly reviewing their content. And trying to ensure that we're getting a good spread on those upvotes. So I'm really excited to see kind of how this evolves. I think it's taken a really good shape so far, and I think it's only going to get better with time. And obviously we need a really good curation system in place, because yeah, we've got, you know, about 1500 monthly active users right now, but you know, as we scale to 5,000 by the end of this year and beyond that, it's going to get harder and harder to curate people, because we've got the same limited voting power, but now we've got, you know, five times as many people to curate. So, things are going to start getting pretty interesting, as we let that evolve.
Apparently, Leo Voto grew by 300K in Hive power. That's cool.
People, yeah, I think it's delegating. Started to get more, you know, the price of Leo going up has had a lot of interesting effects. You know, in a lot of different ways, like getting more users when the price, and we've seen this with Hive too, when the price goes up, a lot of people tend to come back and they tend to get more active because they know that they're earning something that's more valuable. And you know, it's definitely exciting to see a lot of people come back and the users grow. On top of that, you know, getting the price up has also brought in more Hive power delegations, and definitely just some good impacts over the long term.
Funny how that works.
It is funny how that works. More money, more people.
Ooh, RBot 3.0. What is that about?
I don't know. I didn't.
Well, sure. Apparently,
I didn't put that in the notes.
Apparently, the marketing team and the dev teams are just doing things, and they don't need you. They don't need you anymore, Cal.
Hey man, that would be great. Let me get some sleep sometime.
Like, we don't need you. You're out. what is that? Like the hostile takeovers where the inventor and creator of the company bears their name and they get ousted by the board. You can't push me out of my own company.
That's why you always got to own more than 50% of the company.
Indeed. Indeed.
So yeah, I'm just reading through some of the points here, but you know, there's been a lot of updates on the back end and in terms of in terms of Leo cache and scaling and bug fixes, that's where a lot of the focus has been lately. I've been really focused on trying to get Leo cache pushed out as soon as we can. Scaling threads has been pretty difficult in terms of, you know, in terms of like number of threads, but also in terms of being fast and having low downtime and getting the UI to be, you know, 24/7 uptime. That's where a lot of our scaling work has come in. And you know, I think in the long run, Leo cache is just going to solve all these problems. So that's why we've definitely made a big push for getting these things rolled out on the back end. So I know I saw Taskmaster put out a thread asking, you know, why there hasn't been any updates for the past week, but we're still on a schedule of pretty much daily updates to the UI. But you know, a lot of times it kind of depends, because basically the way it works, like, we've got different sets of the team working on different aspects of the UI. So a lot of stuff happening on the back end is happening by, you know, specific devs. Stuff on the front end is happening differently. So, you know, sometimes you'll see a lot of like really cosmetic updates to the front end. There was just actually in the past, I think 3 days ago, there was a little bit of a cosmetic update to the long form articles. So you might have noticed, you know, some formatting changes. So we did a couple of things there, but most of the changes in the past like 1 to 2 weeks have been back end updates, not cosmetic things. So you know, that's been really important to roll out a lot of that back end stuff so that we can kind of set up for what comes next. You know, I didn't want to come to the AMA empty handed. So when we went live, I was working with the devs and we just pushed out communities and community pages. So this has been live for, you know, the past 10 minutes since we've been on. But if you go to the long form articles page and it might load a little slow, so have some patience with it until we do some bug fixes. And if you find any bugs, report them so that we can fix them. I will drop some links in the Discord and on the threadcast. If you go to the articles page, you'll see that there's communities on the right hand side of the screen. You can click on any of those communities. Obviously, there's some familiar ones there. There's 5 that are featured there. And then if you hit explore more communities, it will take you to leofinance.io/communities. And then you can see all the different communities. And then I'll also share the, does someone mind actually just taking those links from Discord? Maybe Eric can do it and just drop them in the threadcast. So we just pushed out this this feature for communities. And you know, the big deal with this is kind of a shift in the vision for Leo Finance. And that is you know, opening ourselves up to a broader audience. So obviously there's a lot of questions that come with that, but let's just focus on the vision part of it. You know, not the, you know, I know a lot of people talk about the name Leo Finance and whether that's going to change, but focusing more on the vision of the everything app. So our vision has evolved with time, but it's always kind of been centered around democratizing finance. But that being said, Web3 basically, and Web3 and this idea of like tokenize everything, really encompasses a lot of what we do. So, you know, a big point for us is that we are expanding what is capable on the UI. And one thing with that is with long form, we only used to allow, you know, like the deep finance type of articles, but now we're opening it up to any community. So, you know, with this communities update, you'll actually be able to publish to other communities. And you'll also be able to obviously like read, share, moderate communities that you're a part of. So if you go to any of these community pages, and Eric dropped a screenshot and he's sharing all the links for everything, but you can find it in the articles tab. So if you look at these communities, there's a lot of different features that are baked in. This was actually a massive update for us. They work based on the Hive communities protocol at the base layer. So you can go to the community page and you can see how many members, rewards, active authors there are. You can see obviously like community descriptions and everything. And the way that this has been described on Hive is that these are like subreddits. So they're basically like subreddits on Leo Finance. And then you can see all the different posting feeds. One of the next updates that we roll out is going to show the threads that are created by that community. So I'm really excited about that because I think it's going to be a massive moment for us to expand out into Hive and get a lot of the people that aren't on Leo Finance yet onto Leo Finance. So we're going to start working a lot more closely with these communities across Hive and get them to start using their community page on Leo Finance, both for threads and for long form, because they'll be able to moderate the threads and moderate the long form all from Leo Finance. And it doesn't matter what type of community they are, they can do it all from Leo. So I'm excited about community pages and what we can do on Hive with it. But then I think the big thing for us is Eric's been working on all these different partnerships with non-Hive projects. So I think a big deal for us is going to be now we're going to go out and talk to all these projects that we've been talking to and get them to set up a community. And the community protocol is at the Hive layer, but then they'll be able to use their community through leofinance.io. And by doing that, they can build out their brand, build up their threads, build up their long form content, and reward their users with Leo power delegations and maybe even Hive power delegations. So it's an exciting future for us to kind of expand outside of just that finance niche, also outside of just long form, to that microblogging vision, but also having that focus on long form. Because I know that a lot of people are looking for more and more long form features on the UI. So, having it all is really what the Everything app is about. And obviously this is all going to drive a lot of ad revenue in the long run. So we'll see how it shapes up.
Ooh, challenge accepted. Taskmaster, can we get 100 comments on Threadcast today? I mean, I already put in two and like valid ones. I don't know. Maybe got a smaller crowd than usual. Nice. Eric, it's amusing that we're making Batman references and then we see the Batman logo on the back of Cal's chair.
Ah, you'd love Batman. To see it. You'd love to see it. I need some energy.
Oh my God. And Task is also posting funny, somewhat inappropriate threads.
He's been doing a lot of NSFW work, trying to get more views, and I think it's been working.
He's putting these in the Threadcast, though.
He's hilarious.
Tokenized Society 35 minutes ago. I already put a Do Not Disturb alert on my Slack, on my work Slack, so let's get the show on the road. How long ago was that? Oh, yeah, we've been live for longer than that.
There were 87 comments. So
12 o'clock sometimes means 12 o'clock. Sometimes it means 12:15. Other times it means 1.
Very true. Very true.
You never know what's going to happen.
Never know in the Sooniverse.
At the Cal residence.
Time is all relative.
Brando28 said, are you technically prepared to scale up when the hype starts?
Yes. We've already stress tested at 20,000 threads a day. I think we average, someone tell me what we average every day now, a couple thousand a day, maybe 10,000 a day. But we've had days where we did 20,000 and shit definitely starts to break after we hit 20,000. But it's actually surprising how well everything holds up without Leo Cash. So once we get Leo Cash implemented, it's like, think of it as like the next generation of like our entire backend. That's basically what Leo Cash is. So that next generation is like literally having like a next gen chip or like a next gen like rocket chip. It's the scaling will jump from like right now our ceiling is somewhere around like 25,000 threads a day. And once Leo cache is in place, it's going to be like 250,000 threads a day. So, yeah. And then Leo cache is on its own also more scalable and more modular. So once we hit 250,000 threads a day, it'll be even easier to get to 2.5 million threads a day. So, yeah, things are going actually pretty well on the scaling front. I've been pretty excited about it. And I thought my gaming chair was cool. I need to get me a superhero chair like Cal's, Eric said. Yeah, dude, this. So actually, Marky Mark a couple of years ago told me, so I broke my back, in case anybody doesn't know. I broke my back like 3 years ago, I think, three or four now. And I tried probably 20 or 30 different chairs, and I couldn't find one that was comfortable to sit in. And obviously for work, you know, for all this stuff, I'm sitting almost all day. So, you know, I went through all sorts of chairs. I had like the DX Racer. I had like Herman Miller. I had every chair I could imagine. And none of them were very comfortable. And eventually I was talking to Marky Mark, and he told me to get a Secret Lab Titan XL, chair. And that's what I've, I don't know if you can see it, but see.
When you got up, we saw it. Now we
Secret Lab. Yeah. Secret Lab. So yeah, it's a nice little pillow cushion, but it's the Secret Lab Titan XL, super comfortable. Literally the most comfortable chair I've ever sat in my entire life. I can like with a broken back, I can sit in this chair all day long and not be in pain. So it was like a kind of a life changer for me, thanks to the Marky Mark.
Well, then my question is, because like I'm pretty happy with my desk chair, but it's got some miles on it. Got good cushion in the seat, which is what I need because of the sciatica and whatnot, the rest of it. Because those chairs, I mean, I don't know about that one, but like the ones that almost look like the racing car seat ones, what I found with those is they didn't have enough seat cushion for me. Like I need super softness. What's the cushion like on that one?
It's, you know, this is the thing I like about it, because it's got a nice cushion, but it doesn't give very much. It's almost like a firm Tempur-Pedic mattress where like you get some like imprinting from yourself into it, especially when you've sat in it for a while, but you don't sink in. Like I don't sink in at all. It feels like I'm just sitting on like a nice Tempur-Pedic pillow, or not Tempur-Pedic mattress, but like a firm one.
Yeah.
Cause that's the other thing. I've tried a lot of different mattresses. A firm, if you get the Tempur-Pedic firm mattress, they feel amazing. You don't want one of the squishy soft ones.
I'm going to disagree with that. I pass.
I'll send you my mattress link and look at it and tell me that you wouldn't be comfortable on it.
I know the firm Tempur-Pedic mattresses.
I don't know.
I basically never want to sleep at my girl's place because of her mattress. She's got the Tempur-Pedic thing. I'm like, every time I wake up and everything hurts.
Really?
The cat likes soft things.
I guess that makes sense. Cats like soft fuzzy things.
So I like my mattress. My mattress is got a little give to it. My desk chair, I got a nice cushion I can sink into a little bit. Yeah, those firm seat cushions, just no bueno on the sciatica. But that's why
I mean this chair, I would be very surprised if you didn't feel amazing when you sat in this chair. So I highly recommend it.
I will have to give it a try somehow. I don't know if I can find one actually at a store to sit in, as opposed to having to order it and then return it.
Yeah, I do think they have free returns. I'm actually about to buy Secret Lab's desk too. They have a gaming desk. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, I need, my desk is in it's actually not in that bad of shape, but it's got to go.
I don't remember the name of my desk. I have a one that you can raise up and down.
Yeah, I have the Jarvis desk.
Yeah, that's what it is, Jarvis. Foley.
Oh, yeah, so we have the same desk.
Yeah, I just don't know. Obviously, on the podcast, I can't raise it up because it just doesn't work with the green screen and all the things. Plus the fact that, honestly, And it was funny because I paid like an extra $25 to get like literally like another half inch or inch in length. And I still, it's still not enough. There you go. Thing to like the elevator, right? Going down.
Oh, shit's falling off.
Going down.
What has the AMA become?
Going up. Going up. This is like, oh, is that Austin Powers?
I've never seen it.
What? Unbelievable.
$1 million. I know the quotes. I've never seen it, though.
Yes. I guess that makes sense. Those came out in the early 2000s, and you were, like, basically a baby.
Pretty much.
And I was just out of college. Well, what do we got coming up? So, apparently, we got some Discord updates as well. Some new, there's going to be a resources tab. What else? Tutorials. Cool. What else?
Yeah, I'm going to start recording. Eric's sending me a bunch of briefs to work on. So I'm going to start recording a bunch of tutorials on Leo Finance and using all sorts of stuff. We've got, if you can't tell from all the coordination right now, in terms of, we just released community pages, we're working on Leo Cash. And then now we're working on all these short tutorials on how to use the UI and different pieces of the UI. If you can tell the common theme or the common thread between them, it is that we are getting ready to onboard a lot of people from the outside through a lot of our community partnerships with non-Hive projects. So, you know, obviously that entails getting them a community page set up and then getting them, giving them the resources they need to say, okay, here's a 30-second video on how to sign up and how to log in. Here's another 30-second video on how to create your first thread. Here's another 30-second video on how to create your first post. So stuff like that, and what upvoting means. And we're going to try to keep each video somewhere between like 30 and 60 seconds. You know, that's where the attention span is these days. So we're going to try to keep the videos really short, really to the point and informative, and then create a whole library of them, both on Discord and on the Leo Docs. There's going to be plenty of links for you guys to share out. And, you know, I'd say one of the big things you could do to help grow the community is when you see new people come in, especially on threads, if they're asking questions or seem like they might need help, you know, keep that docs site bookmarked. And, you know, if they ask a question in the video, like there's like a 30-second clip that can answer it, go to the docs, get them the link, and then paste it in a thread and reply to them. And it'll definitely help grow the community, because we don't want people to get frustrated and leave. But, you know, the UI is light years ahead of anything I've seen in terms of onboarding for Web3. That being said, it's still not always intuitive for people to understand upvoting and voting power and all that shit. So we've got some work to do to make everything better. And then long term, so we're going to have all this stuff in Discord and on the docs. Long term after that, I want to have something built in that's more like a video game where you can have tooltips enabled and you can disable them if you don't want them. But basically, like if you first sign up, you'll sign up and then you'll see tooltips that will like highlight different pieces of UI. So it'll like have like an arrow and it'll like gray out the screen and it'll point at the publish button and it'll say, create your first, you know, long form piece of content. And it'll be like a tooltip pop up that'll start playing that like 30-second video on how to do it. So it'll be like really interactive and gamified if you first signed up and signed into the Leo UI. It'll be really gamified to like show you all the different tooltips of how to use the UI. And then after a certain point, it'll say, okay, like, you know, you've completed the initial tutorial. It may even give you some Leo once you do. And then you'll be off to discover the rest of the UI for yourself. The more advanced parts of it, like the wallet and stuff like that. So that's kind of the long-term vision with that. But the initial steps are going to be, I need to obviously sit down and record a lot of this stuff. Then we're going to put it in Discord. Then we're going to put it in the docs. And then we're going to eventually get it put onto the UI itself.
Cool. So what else? Trading League?
Trading League. So the Trading League is live. I guess we haven't put out an announcement yet. This is a test first one's a test and then and see how it works, and then we'll be moving on to more like live events. Eric can confirm that. He's got the link too. Maybe he can drop it in all the places. But yeah, this is one of the partnerships that we were talking about. There's a lot of partnerships coming up, but this is the first one with this. It's called Saner, and it's a trading league where you can it's a league of trading, kind of like the League of Shadows, but for trading.
Well, people need to go play in order to test it. So go break stuff.
Have fun, break stuff.
You have been unleashed.
Yeah, I actually have another point about LeoCash as it relates to the Threadcast. So if you go to the Threadcast right now, you might see that if you scroll all the way to the bottom, it's starting to load again, but it has like a 12-minute gap between like Eric's comment and Bitcoin Flood and Mint Finch. So that gap, part of the reason for that, because there were comments in between those, is because we don't have LeoCash. So LeoCash solves one of the scaling problems with individual threads. So for example, with our Threadcast, as soon as we hit 100 threads, it starts to do a little bit of like some wonky shit. And the reason for that is all scaling. So, you know, LeoCash can handle a lot of that load. And I would say that once we have it in place, you could probably do anywhere from 1,000 to maybe even 10 or 20,000. It's going to be hard to tell until we try, in one single thread reply, like reply section. So right now you get to 100 and you start having issues, but once LeoCash is in place, it's easily going to be 1,000, maybe 10, maybe 20 or more, 1,000. So it's going to get pretty crazy once LeoCash is in there, and we'll have to stress test it and figure out how to scale it up. But LeoCash is very modular. It will allow us to scale infinitely more than what we're at right now. So. We are currently in a no LeoCash environment. Eric said, bite-sized tutorials recorded by the founder are key to onboard Zoomers and those on the young side with short attention spans. And it gives the perception that Cal is close to the community, which is something not a lot of crypto projects do. Yeah, I agree. That's why I really want to record them myself. I mean, we talked about having someone else record them, either from the community or just hiring somebody.
Or using the AI thing?
Yeah, or even the AI voice stuff.
I honestly know, there's one that I know when it's AI because it's like a woman. I don't know, maybe she's like of Latin descent, but yeah, every time I see that woman on something, I'm like, oh, they use the AI bot.
AI, there you go. Yeah, we talked about using AI, and like you can use like Jennifer Lawrence's voice or something. Yeah, which is kind of wild, but at the same time, like it's, you know, I have a feeling a lot of different projects are going to start doing shit like that. And one of the unique things is having a more personal touch on it. So that's my goal. Tokenized Society said, when Leo talk? And Mitch said, talked about Leo shorts. So I've talked about this a couple of times that, you know, in the Everything app, you have all sorts of content. So you've got short form, and right now we've got a lot of focus going into the long form. You know, you can see a lot of new stuff with the community pages. So also, by the way, tell everyone you know who's in a Hive community, share that link with them for their community, and share the page and see if they can, you know, maybe start using it a little bit. It'll drive up some ad revenue, and it'll also, you know, we're trying to get more Hive people acquainted with the UI and able to do the things that they do on other UIs over here. So that's one of our goals. But that's just a side note. So the Leo shorts or the Leo talk, the idea is I want to integrate with something like ThreeSpeak. We're just not ready for it quite just yet. But integrating with ThreeSpeak to have short form video directly on threads, and it'll work a lot like Twitter or TikTok, where you'll have like a For You page or whatever. And then you'll be able to like, and actually Neil talked about this probably like 2 years ago on the AMA, which is like, we were talking about Project Blank, and he's like, all I want to do on the UI is go to it, hit record, record a 60-second video and have it automatically upload as a onto the UI. So that's something that I want to get to. I want to get to the point where we have a button where you can record a video. So like Mitch could go out and record, you know, a video of him doing chart analysis. And if he's just in the process of recording it naturally, like he's just, you know, being him, his natural self and making the video. If it's like a 45 second video, it just gets posted to Threads as a short. And if it's over 60 seconds, so if he just runs longer and does like a 3 minute video or something, then it gets posted as a post. And then he can still publish a video post from Leo Finance to like Three Speaks backend and on the Hive blockchain.
Pretty cool.
So that's kind of my vision for videos on the
UI. Which I mean, yeah, I didn't even realize that like TradingView actually has that where you can like record or whatever. Oh, you know what I can't wait for? Where I can actually vote. I mean, granted, you know, you should read the stuff, but when I can vote on a long form post without it opening the post.
Yes, that is actually something we're working on right now. That's hopefully going to be out this week. We're gonna push that out because it does bug me too.
There is the When Soon Show recap post, all the things we talked about.
All of the things.
The Discord.
We are currently at 150 comments.
Yes, there's about to be one more because I'm going to put this in the thread. No reason.
Don't forget to upvote the cat.
No reason for me not to put it in there. Yes, we'll put it in the threads. Make it easy for the lions to vote.
I'm going to rapid fire through some of these thread questions because there's a lot of them that came in.
Yes, do some questions before we dip off.
Yeah, quick. We'll do a quick lightning round, Threadstorm lightning round.
I'll look at some as well.
Now that Project Blink is rolling, what other developments does the team at Leo have in the making for the near future from Mint Finch? There's a lot of stuff we're working on. There's a lot of DeFi stuff that's been in the works. Eric actually put in our briefing for today to talk about our bot 3.0, but I'm not ready to talk about it quite just yet. So some more tweaking is needed on that end. But we've got some interesting stuff for DeFi. We've got a really big bridge update for BHBD and Beehive coming soon. And that will also lead into some stuff for Polycub, PHBD, and Beehive. I've been working with the devs a lot, trying to figure out something for the long term of both Cub and Polycub and what we've been doing with the bridges. So there's going to be a really big, really big update to the bridges in the very near Sooniverse. And then outside of that, just a lot of focus going into the Leo UI, into the tokenomics for Leo and ads, building out that ads protocol. So a lot of interesting stuff, but a lot of our work lately over the past probably 2 years has been converging everything and making it all cohesively work together. So that's kind of the common theme you'll see. Do you have any plans on improving the long form content feed? It doesn't really appeal to me much right now, and I find myself not looking at it since the UI change from Jfang 003. So I actually commented back and I said, what's your feedback to change it? What would make you want to use it more? He said, first of all, I want a chronological sort for the posts, or at least an option for it. Sometimes posts get repeated multiple times in the feed too. There are also some display bugs for long form posts, so fixing that would also make the experience better. So basically, chronological sort and then some bugs in terms of repeated posts and probably the display bugs he's talking about are like formatting issues, like we don't have HTML support, which has been a big complaint. So we will work on that stuff. I know that sorting is in the works, but it's not live yet. You can obviously have the different feeds like trending, hot, created and stuff. But we don't have like sorting where you can like sort within those feeds. But that is in the Sooniverse. The goal is to make the long form stuff really amazing. Like I have a lot of issues with long form content on Hive and the way that it's displayed in feeds and all sorts of stuff like that. And my goal over the next couple of weeks is going to be to make the long form experience on Leo solve all the problems that I have with that, with long form that exist on Hive. So you're going to see a lot of updates come out for that. The community pages one obviously being a big point, a big notch in that belt. Farhad asked, Just curious, is the Leo Threads code open source? If yes, can you please share the repository? Thanks. If no, any plans in the future roadmap? So no, it's not open source. And yes, I've talked about making the repository for Leo's UI open source before. And you know, a lot of people ask, you know, why it's not open source, and also why we don't ask for any funding from the DHF. There are a lot of projects on Hive that get, you know, pretty ridiculous funding from the DHF. So I don't really fully believe in getting like that level of funding that's just astronomical for what they're actually, you know, producing. I won't name any projects, but there's projects out there that are making tens of thousands of dollars a month from the DHF who are not spending tens of thousands of dollars a month on development, if that makes sense. They're doing it at an extreme profit, which I don't know that I morally believe in terms of using like the DHF funds for that. So if Leo were to ever ask for funds, it would only be for something that is open source, completely available, and it would have transparent costs for, you know, why it's asking for that much, and, you know, basically a one-to-one cost structure. And I also believe in like, if you're asking for 10 grand a month, that's fine. But if you only spend 7, give back the other 3, or maybe spend the other 3 on marketing or something. But yeah, I don't know. I have some issues with DHF, clearly. But yeah, that's why we're not open source at this moment.
Too busy threading about Bitcoin mooning at the moment. We're about to hit 28K.
Oh,
we're
shit.
At 28K.
Oh,
we just right now we're busted above that descending channel. I just posted
going crazy.
I just threaded about it. That's huge. If this candle can close at 28K, we're literally like busting out of that descending channel we've been in since the high of what was that, 31 back in April. So
that is what you love to see.
I mean, shit. Per the usual, wish I would have bought more at 25K, but at least I bought some.
Yeah.
Hashtag winning. That's actually like we rallied right off of 25K.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid candle. It's a pretty solid candle.
Problem is, there's not a lot of volume at all on this bounce. And today's candle has not a lot of volume, but we still have, what, 5 hours? So
what do you think? Do you think we're gonna get smacked back down?
I have no idea. I mean, like, you know, we don't have to have volume. I just always like when there is volume. Either way, I'm excited that we not only bounced over 25K, but we took out the 27. I was like 27 was starting to become like resistance. So hashtag awesome. Anyway, back to questions because I'm gone in 8 minutes. 2:30 right. Is as late as I can stay.
Rapid fire round.
I'm already past my bedtime.
The rethread feature, why is it not functioning yet? So the rethread feature was added to the 3-dot menu. You probably see it there. It is waiting for Leo cache. So in order to have the rethreads, we need Leo cache's backend because that's how it handles the rethreading from a technical perspective. So that is coming soon. I've seen people talking about uploading videos on threads. What happened to Leo talk? I talked about that before, but it is coming in this universe. Taskmaster thinks the Fed will reverse course quickly. He stands by a decrease by the end of the summer, August, September, October. October is usually when the bad stuff happens. Definitely possible. I could agree with that. A Nomad Soul was saying Hive holders seem bullish on getting Leo with their Hive power since Leo.voter has been increasing in terms of delegations. So yeah, I think a lot of bullishness has come about for Leo, and we're kind of seeing the effects of that. How does Leo Finance plan to incorporate emerging blockchain technologies further to enhance user experiences and engagement on the platform? Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm always kind of playing around with different protocols. I definitely get fascinated pretty quickly. I've actually been looking at one today called Frax. Some of you have probably heard of it. They do a lot of stuff in DeFi. And, you know, I'm always kind of looking at what these different projects are doing, what's interesting about them, how are they generating revenue is a big piece that I look at. How are they bringing in users? You know, what unique features do they have, and, you know, product market fit and all that stuff. So that's, you know, incorporating emerging technologies has always been a key part of Leo. So you look at stuff like the bridges and, you know, technologies we've used, like, you know, the onboarding protocol that we built called Leo Infra. Even Leo Cash uses some interesting new blockchain tech to connect to Hive. Anything, really, everything that we do is always kind of forward looking. You know, Taskmaster always loves to say that one of the big reasons he's been involved in Leo for a while is that he loves that I think, you know, I'm not really thinking about the next year. I'm thinking more about the next decade. So, you know, thinking about the next decade for Leo and, you know, a couple decades to come, we definitely have a lot of good positioning to take advantage of new tech. Happy line is seeding speedy progress.
I can't hear
28,000.
I'm being deafened by the sound of Bitcoin mooning. I'm only now 70,000 Bitcoin points away from retiring for good. We can do that in the next week. It'll be like a Tesla chart. Come on. Tesla can do it. So can Bitcoin.
Believe. Jimmy Adams says hashtag Cal tip, always own more than 50% of a company. Yeah, I definitely believe in that, especially if it's a company that you want to maintain control of. How soon can we have Leo Cash? I'm hoping by the end of the month, but it's you know, Leo Cash is a big project. It's going to scale us for the next year or more. So definitely a lot of work going into that. Hopefully by the end of the month, though. I noticed that the first letter of articles gets formatted in a bigger font. I quite like it. Yeah, we...
I noticed that too the first time.
Yeah. Yesterday. So we worked on a couple of interesting like little formatting things, some meta gaming in terms of the development. So yeah, we worked on making articles a little bit more appealing. And I definitely like the way that looks better. It's like an old school... It's actually kind of like an old school thing. They used to do it in a lot of paper books. I don't really see it as much anymore in newer books, but pretty happy about that. What is one thing that Elon hasn't done for Twitter that you hope to do before they do it? Paying creators, I would say, is a big one. Taskmaster said, get a market cap of 100 billion. Oh yeah, definitely. I would love to beat them to 100 billion market cap. Paying creators. You know, Twitter has been talking a lot about giving advertiser dollars back to creators. And obviously Leo's been talking about it even longer than they have. And we have a lot more tooling to make it possible. The interesting thing is Twitter might be a much bigger company with a lot more developers, a lot more resources. But we're the leanness of our company means that we can, or our organization or our blockchain and, you know, all the things that encompass it, including Hive, is that things change very quickly. They evolve very quickly. So like Hive can get a huge performance upgrade, you know, almost overnight. You know, there can be a bunch of new nodes that come online and new APIs. And same thing goes for Leo. We can, you know, develop something like Leo Cash from the ground up and just, you know, launch it out there. Twitter has a lot harder of a time of doing that. So our tech actually is a lot more forward-looking, I would say, than theirs. And that includes tokenization. So tokenization allows us to do the whole creator ad revenue distribution thing a lot easier than they can do it. Because I honestly, I don't know how they're planning on doing it.
Makes it easier. Did you see what Finguru said in Discord? We need this feature. And I think it's a screenshot from actually Twitter. The
little plus icon. Yes, that is to create a thread storm. So Twitter has a feature where you can hit the plus button and create multiple tweets connected to each other to make a thread storm. On Leo, you can make a thread storm, but you have to make the first tweet or first thread. Then you have to reply to it and keep replying to it to add. I do have a plan to add that to the UI. I don't have a timeline yet, but I would say relatively soon.
Cool.
When are you going to shut down the general section in Discord and push them to threads? Also soon.
That's funny. So
I don't plan on doing that, but I would love to see more people on threads as opposed to Discord, especially across the other Hive communities. Like, you guys need to get them off their asses and tell them to come over to Threads, because I see a lot of other Hive discords that are always booming, like 100 people just constantly going back and forth. Tell them to put it on the Hive blockchain through Threads. I don't know why they're not on Hive. Images on mobile are distorted. I did notice that. We are going to work on that. Make an extra note of that. Running out of time here, but I did catch most of your questions. Yeah, actually, I'm
yes. At. I got.
Can you give me the link to the 30-second tutorials? This is the last question. I haven't made any of them yet, but they're coming soon. And that is our final question.
They're in the Sooniverse.
They're all stuck in the Sooniverse uploading.
It's time to create content. You know what kind of time? 30 seconds at a time. Gone in 60 seconds.
That is a great movie. I've seen that movie.
I actually want to see the original one day. I love, like, the Nick Cage one's awesome, but I want to see, like, yeah, the original one that came out, whenever it came out, in the 70s or whatever. But yeah,
I've never seen that one. I've seen the Nick
Cage. I've seen the Nick Cage one like 10 times. But yeah, there's an original. That was a remake. I did not know that at first. I learned this a few years ago. I'm sure the original won't be as much fun. Because it won't be as, like, amped up. But
yeah, and it won't have Angelina Jolie in it.
Well, that also definitely helps the cause. But yeah. All right, I gotta wrap up. My phone is blowing up.
Sweet. Thanks everybody for coming. Next week is the 27th. See you guys there.
Yes. And then the week after that is the 4th of July week, which obviously 4th of July is a Tuesday. So we'll be not having a show on 4th of July.
Sounds good.
I'm sure others aren't available, but I'm definitely not available. I'll be in
Michigan. We'll take a hot holiday. Oh,
holiday week. And then we will
Tuesday.
You know, what's funny. The 11th is going to be tough for me as well because I'm traveling.
But I may also be traveling. We'll see.
There might be a 2-week hiatus.
Yeah, it might be a 2-week.
But either way, we'll be around on the 27th. Yes, we'll be there 27th and we can figure it out from then. So
sweet.
Same bat time, same bat channel. See you guys next week at 12 or 12:30 or 11:45 or 1.
Something around there.
Peace out.
See ya. Upvote the cat.
Indeed.
Peace.